Salo Falava, I'm Afamasanga Seyuli Salamasina Von Reiki, and I'm inviting you to join me on a journey through the evolution of our Pacific cultures on Culture Compass. We'll meet incredible people dedicated to preserving traditions while adapting them for today's world. Join me as we travel the Pacific to celebrate our resilience, revival, and deep-rooted connection.
Search for Culture Compass wherever you get your podcasts to listen.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malolale and welcome to the first episode of Fresh Off the Field for 2026, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes, and from futsal to darts and everything in between, we've got you covered today for all things Pacifica sport. And a new year means a slightly new format with an even bigger focus on talking about the biggest sporting events and stories from across the Pacific every week here on the show. And also, one thing that hasn't changed is that I don't go it alone. Every week, I'm joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific to chat sport in the region. My first co-host is PNG journalist and media manager for PNG Football. Hello, Ogeta, Patricia Kiamo.
Hey, Sam. Hi, everyone. It's great to be back and starting off the year with the first episode.
Absolutely, it is. It is our round one and for 2026. But what did you get up to in your time off?
I've had the best 3 weeks of my life. Honestly, I get to stay home.
I could hear that. I could feel that.
Yes, I was just at home spending time with my daughter, and it's making up for probably about 2 months or so I've been away for work, in and out of the house. So just getting to spend time with her has been really, really refreshing.
Oh, I love that. And I guess, you know, you've had your time off, you're fresh, and we're ready to go. But let's get to our other co-host who has represented Samoa in rugby league and union. And now she's a leader of women and girls in sport in the Pacific. Talofalava, and welcome Gabrielle Apelu.
Talofalava and warmest Pacific greetings to everybody. Welcome to 2026.
Yes, a big welcome. And how was your time off? Was it as good as Patricia's?
Absolutely. I'm still on time off, to be exact. I did exactly the same as Patricia. I am going to start work as soon as the kids go back to school. So it's been amazing family time and some downtime.
Awesome. So this isn't considered work for any of you too, because we are back at work technically, but is this still considered time off? Doesn't feel like work.
No, we love this show. This is a catch-up of friends.
It is, it is. And so do our listeners. They love our show as well. But let's get to what's coming up on the show. We'll get you across the new OFC Pro League, which starts this weekend. And we'll see 8 totally new teams from across the Pacific, including Hikari from PNG.
I joined Hikari in 2010 as a player. But trace it back to 2006. That's where Hikari started in the national states.
That's Wira Wama from the Hikari PNG leadership. We'll also hear from the head of Samoa Athletics, Archong Sam Chong, and the goals for Pacific Athletics going forward.
They always ask me why I support the women in sports. The way I support these guys, because we're all in the same. If any female and a male win, for example, like 100 meters per sprint, everyone's going to, you know, get the gold. And they will sing the national anthem at the same time. So I would say in the athletic side, it's all equal.
And speaking of leaders, you'll also get up to date with the new captains for both the Drua and Moana Pacifica teams as Super Rugby draws closer. There's news in the worlds of boxing, netball, footy, and much more.
Fresh off the field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, we have a new segment here. This is the Big Bowl, where we come together, we take a seat on the mat and chat about the biggest sports stories across the Pacific. So kick back and fill your cup as myself, Patricia and Gabs run through the must-know sports news in the region.
The Big Bowl.
Yes, Set Vinaka, it is the Big Bowl. A couple of claps there to get us started, Patricia, and we're going to start with you. What are you bringing in today for the debut of the Big Bowl.
Oh yes, Sam, it is something that I have been looking forward to for a couple of years now, since it's been in the talks and the planning stages, and now finally the OFC Professional League kicks off this weekend in Auckland with the first match played at Eden Park. Now, this tournament marks the first ever professional club football league in Oceania, being the only confederation that doesn't have its own professional league. And now we finally have our very own pro league for the Pacific. And I'm super excited to see how this turns out. So the first round, like I mentioned, starts off this Saturday. And the tournament is backed heavily by OFC and FIFA's support, with the aim to professionalize football across Pacific nations, especially that have, you know, traditionally operated at a semi-professional or amateur levels. And now we have 8 teams representing 7 nations, including Papua New Guinea's Hekari FC, Bula FC from Fiji, Solomon Kings from Solomon Islands, Vanuatu United, Tahiti United, and 2 from New Zealand. We have Auckland FC and South Island FC, as well as Australia's South Melbourne FC, makes up the 8 teams of the Pro League's maiden season. Now,
hey Patricia, just on that, with those teams, do all the teams play at the same venue, or are they all spread out over the rounds?
So for the first round in Auckland, the first 2 matches, well, 2 match days on Saturday and Sunday will be played at Eden Park, and then the remainder of the matches will be played in Hamilton, I believe. For the other rounds, the match venues haven't been confirmed yet, but for round 2, all the matches will be played at one venue, which will be in Papua New Guinea sometime at the end of this month. But for the first round in Auckland, there's 2 match venues. The first 2 matches will be played at Eden Park, and then the remainder of the matches will be played at another venue.
Well, hopefully whoever's playing there has a better record than I have at Eden Park. Can you guess my win-loss record at Eden Park in Auckland there? I think 10 games I've played there.
Probably Gabs. 3 wins out of 10.
Okay, I'll take that one. Gabs, what about you?
I will go with Patricia, I think, just under half.
Both of you are too kind. I'm going the Cook Island Donuts. 0 wins from 10 at Eden Park. So it's just a tough place to win a game. So hopefully all the teams have better luck than what I had playing over there. But when we think about these tournament structures, you know, the OFC, it's a great concept, great competition. But, you know, how does this benefit, I guess, the local teams and the local talents to then aspire to play in bigger competitions?
You know, for Pacific Island athletes, and especially footballers, the dream has always been to get into a professional league. You know, in our island homes, football is played at a semi-professional or more so amateur level. And I've spoken to a lot of football players across the region, and the dream has always been for them to get into a professional league. And now having that at the doorstep of our Pacific Island nations, that is huge for most of the players. You know, even some of the coaches who were former players, now 10 coaches, have dreamed of this opportunity, and now having that, it's a game changer. And not only that, but the champion of that tournament, whoever wins this cup, will earn a place in the FIFA Intercontinental Cup, with, you know, implications for future FIFA Club World Cup participation. It is a historic chance for Pacific clubs to compete at that international stage, you know, getting that exposure to have a feel and become what it's like to be a professional footballer. And, you know, that opportunity it brings to your doorstep, having exposure to potentially get into other professional leagues across the world, that is something I think it's really, really good for Pacific Island footballers.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Playing in bigger games where the pressure is higher compared to just your local games, it's only going to benefit players if they want to progress and then hopefully get to the big cheese, which is a World Cup at some point. Gabs, I know there's Tonga or Samoa representation in here for this, but do you think there's opportunity now to grow the sport of soccer in other islands such as Samoa and then in Tonga and other regions?
Well, I think actually if you look back now at the massive development that soccer has had in Samoa, it is fast actually overtaking our traditional rugby sports.
Oh, wow.
We have Samoa has a full year calendar, and recently, out of all the sports, have two home bases. They've actually taken over one of Samoa's national stadiums as one of theirs. So soccer in Samoa's grown. And I think I have a really interesting question for Patricia as well, leading up to exactly what you said, eh? So for soccer, do you think, Patricia, with PNG and all the teams now in this new OFC Professional League, do you reckon the style, the format style of how the Pacific plays has changed over the years to try and bridge that gap just on this professional newly launched format towards, as Sam was saying, more professional contracts, say, in Europe or so?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, that gap is starting to be bridged or become, you know, a lot less wider. But having that opportunity, like I said, it brings a lot of more opportunities for our players, and that stands to be one of them. You know, the style of football that Pacific Islanders play back in our island homes are completely different from how professional football is being played. And now that they are, some of the playing styles of our island footballers have actually changed, and you could see some resemblance of them tapping into that pro style of play, which is really good, and I believe this tournament will help them, you know, unleash the potential that they have.
Love it, ladies. We're off to a flying start with the Big Bowl, and for no other reason than the name itself, my favourite team is going to be the Solomon Kings. So all of our PNG fans, don't come at me, okay, Patricia? It's just for that, okay?
Yeah, no. You know, something else that I forgot to mention. So for all those eight teams, part of the requirement as per the regulation of the tournament was for them to have recruit players from three that are not from the region and three from the region. So I've seen the squad list, and most of these clubs have signed players from countries including Brazil, Japan, Korea, Canada, even United States. So
that's impressive.
They're bringing so much into it, yeah, into the tournament as well. So it will be a blockbuster. The first match kicks off it's a local derby between Auckland FC and South Island United, two New Zealand clubs going head to head at Eden Park. And after that, we will see how PNG's Hackery FC go against your Solomon Kings.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'll stay neutral with that one, okay? But we'll be sure to bring you the results over the next few months as the OFC Pro League gets underway. Gabs, you're up next. What did you want to bring in today as we sit around the Big Bowl?
Yeah, awesome. I think one of the biggest stories at the moment is Mr. Miracle Failangi being named the Moana Pacifica captain. I think it's, you know, it's a sort of a fairy tale. I think where all our local Pacific Island athletes aspire to, you know, the local boys made it all the way into one of the top teams, or, you know, our favorite teams. I know it's your favorite team too, Sam. But it's also the fact that what makes Miracle different is that he was not snatched up from a professional contract somewhere overseas. He went straight from village rugby into club rugby and then did his due for 4 years, and we see the evidence of that now, and it's just amazing.
First ever player to do that from the village into Super Rugby when he made his debut from the village of Vailele. How do you think the people of Vailele are celebrating the announcement of Miracle Failangi being captain of Moana Pacifica?
It's absolutely chaotic. I see posts everywhere from all the his club, his village club, Vailele, as well as the other clubs that he also played for in the Nines, the Eels as well. So everyone's super proud, you know. There's nothing else bigger than this. And even down to the Reverend, you know. A big kudos to Vailele. I mean, Miracle isn't their only sports rugby star they've churned out. You know, they've churned out amazing Manu Samoa Sevens players as well. So it is a testament that the development at village level and also the commitment of club levels as well to aspire to ensure that, you know, the players are able to be supported to such a milestone.
Absolutely. Well, for people who don't know who Miracle Failangi is, here's a bit of audio from Miracle last year for Moana Pacifica.
Something's got to give. Now Julian Savia, a little step. He's taken low by Holland. Domitini looking to clear the ball away for Savia. We pop over the top. Tom Wufala, Miracle Vailagi reaching! And Miracle Vailagi scoring! Huge try, Moana!
Patricia, Miracle is one of those feel-good stories, you know, from the village to the big stage. You know, PNG have had their fair share of, you know, NRL stars, you know, Justin Olam coming from the village into the big stage. You know, how does that, you know, create dreams for the younger boys and girls coming from the village knowing that this is possible?
I think that's probably the biggest, inspiration or motivation that, you know, younger kids, especially those in the villages, rural settings, you know, if someone from the village can make it to the big stage, you know, that's something that, you know, pushes them not only to have that dream, but to realize the dream. So I think, you know, it's really good, and I'm happy to see, you know, players like that getting that opportunity, you know, straight out of the village, and it's a dream come true.
You're not wrong. And Gabs, you know, Artie Savia, they are some massive shoes to fill. I don't think I've seen a more influential player have that type of impact on a team compared to what Artie did last season. He's not going to be there for this year. He's over in Japan playing, and I've got no doubt Miracle would have learnt a lot from him, but how do you think he's going to handle the responsibility of being the leader?
I think he also mentioned it himself, Miracle, that he is filling some big shoes, but at the same time, Artie's mentorship throughout this transition period has had, you know, he's left him well. And I'm sure, and has not left him completely. Even if he's in Japan, I'm sure he's only like a phone call or a Zoom call away for advice and support. And I think I just also really just wanted to highlight the fact that, as you guys mentioned, it's a miracle story, just like his name. You know, it's a miracle story, and that gives a boost to locally grown athletes. That not only is the athletes able to bridge the gap, but we are supporting and doing something about at the administration at that level as well. So just wanted to acknowledge all the support as well as Artie's mentorship and leadership for his brother.
Absolutely. And just before we move on to my story, Vailele, I was fortunate enough to visit his village, I think it was a couple of years ago now, with that Pacific Sports Show. And the field that the kids are playing on, that Miracle Vailagi played on, there is a concrete bitumen road that runs through the field. And the outline, there's concrete pillars as right on the outline. And they were saying that he had a big accident where he ran into that concrete pillar. But they breed them tough, don't they, in Samoa, when you think about the and in PNG, when you think about the grounds that they play on, don't they?
What even is grass, Sam?
I mean, what is grass?
What is grass? We don't know what that is. What even is a rugby ball? Just give a sandal, a jando, or a coconut. We're done.
You're not wrong. I absolutely love that. But I want to actually move on to a bit of boxing. So tomorrow, actually, there's a big boxing event in Brisbane, and we're going to see former NRL player Big Samoan Nelson Asofa Solomona make his boxing debut. So he's a former NRL player fighting against another former NRL player, Jeremy Lattimore. But one of the ones I want to talk about is Liam Taliva'a, Samoan heritage, and his fighting name is Godson.
Hailing proudly from Western Sydney, New South Wales, with proud Samoan heritage, let's welcome God's son, Liam Taliva'a.
Going again.
Big shots, and it's over. It is revenge. Taliva'a. He gets his moment, he gets his man, he gets his victory.
He is fighting against Stevan Ivic in a heavyweight match in Brisbane, and I absolutely love this story. Sort of know the family pretty well. I know his sister-in-law. His father-in-law, Alex Duitavake Tongan, he's trained guys like Mark Hunt in the past, and he's the one that helped set up Liam with the foundations of boxing, started training him and making sure that he was ready to, you know, progress. When I think about if my father-in-law was to coach me in boxing, he would have flogged me. He would have absolutely knocked me out, I think. But for Liam, it's obviously set him up nicely for this moment right now. But when you think about a Tongan father-in-law being his coach as a Samoan man, how does that sit with you? You, Gabs, how would that sit with you?
I'm pretty sure Liam had no choice.
to learn fast, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, you have to, if your father-in-law is Tongan, you have to make sure that you are representing and you're representing well. So I think it's a really good merge of cultures too. We're very similar to Tongans, and I'm sure the values are the same, and I'm sure the drive there too was... that was the push he needed. He also didn't want to, like, you know, look weak in front of his father-in-law, I'm sure.
Exactly. Oh, if that was me, honestly, and that was my father-in-law, I'd be looking to my corner for my trainer to throw in the white towel for me because, he's 57 and he'd still have me today. But thank you so much. I really love this segment, The Big Bowl. We're going to have it every week. And until next week, we will keep you informed here on Fresh Off the Field with the must-know stories across the Pacific.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field with Sam Wykes, Patricia Kiamo, and Gabrielle Arpilu. And we're going to get to one of my favourite parts of the show where our co-hosts bring in an interview from their part of the world. We love talking about the big stories, but this is our chance to meet someone involved in the game in the region. We'll splice these interviews throughout the show, so we'll hear from Gabriel's a little bit later. But Patricia, I want to start with you, and today you're going to take us inside the PNG team Hikari that are in the OFC Pro League, which we talked about earlier. Who did you tattoo?
So this week I spoke to PNG Hikari FC's general manager, Wira Wama. He was a former player, now turned administrator, and we spoke about Hikari's journey into the OFC Pro League's maiden season that's kicking off this weekend. And I started off by asking him about Hikari's upcoming games in the first round and their preparations so far.
I think we have a big three games. First one on Sunday, and then the other two, we are playing Solomon Kings and then Tahiti United and South Melbourne. Just to give you a heads up in our preparation, we've been preparing for 3 months now leading up to that competition, and I am confident that whatever our technical team delivered on the training pitch will give us a good result throughout our first round. But we are looking good, and all our players are set to travel tomorrow. Tomorrow is our traveling date set for travel, and our first game is on Sunday, the 18th, against Solomon Kings.
Now, can you talk a bit about Hikari's journey from an amateur club, 23 years in the making, and now being the first professional football club from PNG to compete in the biggest and first Pro League season of the region?
For Hikari journey, I joined Hikari in 2010 as a player. But trace it back to 2006. That's where Hikari started in the national states. And looking back 23 years, I joined them in 2010, and being a footballer under the leadership and principle of the team, it's all about commitment and hard work. It's not easy. All the results, we don't sleep. We wake up 4, 5 in the morning, come training, and then in the afternoon, and it pays off. And I think, to me personally, the club deserves to be in that professional league. Looking back to when I start apply for the professional league, many of the compliance that required, we already in the States where we already have things where we just tick the box. And I think the most important thing is for making this journey successful into Pro League, I think it's our sponsor. We really appreciate their support. Development is not all about infrastructure. It's also about human development, getting people out of bad habit and give them clear mind of sportsmanship and also a good citizens in the community around. So I really appreciate their support. They've been supporting club for almost 22 years, and 23 we are into the Pro League. So it's made it so easy for us, and also give confidence for the Pro League people, have the confidence in us that we are financially stable going forward. Because many of the clubs, you know, if you win the competition, then you might have a good money at the end. But if not, then who's backing you up? That's why I really appreciate our sponsors.
Also, in addition to your Brazilian head coach, Marcos Guzmão, the club also has the services of Solomon Allen's brothers, Jerry Sam and Jerry Allen, who are assisting him with coaching the club. How has their contributions impacted Hikari?
Yes. I think, to me personally, I have respect for these two brothers. They've been in football for so long now. They've been footballers themselves. And, you know, they went to overseas, New Zealand. They almost made it to professional clubs and leagues, but it didn't work out for them. And now they are in coaching career. I have so much respect for them. They have so much in depth. I think our head coach, as we prepare for Solomon Kings, because they know the Solomon Kings players. And
now I understand the club had to recruit 3 international players as well as 3 imports from the region. Tell us about these recruitments and how their inclusion adds depth to Hikari's squad.
We feel like it's easy as a head coach coming from Brazil. Then a requirement, the regulations for a Pro League competition says we need a 3 non-Oceania. So we just, Eric is already there. We just bring another 2 Brazilian. I haven't been at the field so much, so many times with training, but when I was there, I saw some good combination with them. Rafael is a midfielder, and he combined really well with Joseph Joe and John Alec from Vanuatu, so we were a good strength in the middle. Kawe is a striker, so him and Ati Kepo and John Orobulu from Solomon Islands, we have a good powerhouse in front. And Eric is a good leader at the back. So I think getting these 3 players in these 3 important positions is good for the team.
Lastly, I understand veteran striker Raymond Gunamba has yet to receive his New Zealand visa ahead of round 1. Do you think he'll make it in time for your opening match against Solomon Kings?
He has now until Sunday. Whenever his New Zealand visa comes in, we just fly him across. So Raymond is a marquee player, and whenever he involved, whether he's first 11 or he comes off the bench, he always makes differences. We're still gonna get him over. We just wait for his New Zealand visa. Once it comes in, we because of his renewal, passport renewal, we applied for his visa a little bit late. So we just wait for his New Zealand visa to arrive.
Thank you and best of luck in your competition.
Patricia, one thing that really sparked my interest from that interview, and personally I can't relate to it, but teammates that I've had in teams where the visa was going to be a struggle, do you feel like this could be a challenge throughout, you know, this competition, where there could be delays with the visa, trying to get them through and get them travelling for their games?
Well, for some cases, yeah, I believe, you know, in everywhere we're trying to travel, getting a visa, and especially for our athletes, that seems to be a bit of a challenge. Specifically for Raymond's case, the issue was because his passport was, the validity of the passport was less than 6 months, so he had to renew his passport, which delayed the process of applying for a New Zealand visa, which was just lodged last Friday. So yeah, that seemed to be the issue. But for the Pro League, I believe, from what I understand, there are processes in place to have all this sorted out via an agent that OFC has engaged to take care of all the team's visa requests and all that. So that should put you know, a bit of gap in between the challenges we faced in terms of getting visa. But I hope, you know, as the competition goes on, it gets improved along the way.
Patricia, that was a pretty amazing interview. So what are the PNG fans expecting for 2026?
Everyone's standing behind Hekari, you know, they're not just hearing the name Hekari FC, because you'll realize that in front of Hekari FC, it's PNG. So ultimately, they're carrying the country with them, and they are our first professional football club. So everyone wants to see them win, although we know that it's going to be challenging, you know, looking at the depth of each of the clubs that are competing. It is going to be a big ask, but we are particularly looking forward to, from what I've heard from a lot of people here, back here in the country, a lot of them are looking forward to watching how the match against the Solomon Kings will go. You know, every time when a PNG team plays the Solomon Islands team, the crowd goes wild. So yeah, that should be a big one to follow on.
Great work, Patricia. Great work. Gabs, we'll hear from you a bit later in the show, but let's hop aboard the Fresh Off the Field Va'a and do this.
Island hopping.
All right, we've talked about some of the biggest stories across the Pacific, but that just skims the surface. So let's see what else is happening in our beautiful part of the world. And the best way to do that is grab a paddle, jump in the va'a, and let our ladies do all the work, because I'm just going to sit back and relax and let the wind and the tide take me on a journey. So take it away. We're going to have Gabs first up. What have you got for us?
Well, now that we've landed here with Moana's va'a.
Yeah. safely. I'm still here perfectly.
Safely, yes, yeah. yes. Well, I think the big news at the moment is the SVNS or Sevens Dubai Sevens. That's currently going to be this weekend. And the big thing is that it's the third tier of the competition. We have both the Manu Samoa Sevens, Manu Sina Sevens, and the Tongan team in the men's Sevens as well. Now, the reason this one is sort of a pinnacle for these two teams is the top two have to make, the top two teams are the ones that progress to the next tier. So we're not quite into the HBSC circuit yet. We're just sort of, you know, third tier down. And that's, you know, for Samoa, that's a big ask, because if they don't perform here, they're out of the circuit until 2027, where they have another go at it.
Man, Samoa's always been a... Well, actually, you know, back in the day, they've been very good on the Sevens circuit. So hopefully they can get back to that status that they had, you know, in those previous years. I know Tonga's training very hard under Afa Bakalani. I've seen some of their training. The grass is up to their knees. They're using the coconut as the football, and they're staying well hydrated straight after. But I think it's a very good tournament, and it's a pathway to be able to get to that elite level. So it's good news that that's happening. Patricia, what about you? Where are we heading next with you?
So we're hopping on to Moana's va'a again and heading off to Fiji and Solomon Islands this time.
I feel safer with you paddling compared to Gabrielle. I don't know why, I just feel safer with you.
So the Australian under-19 team, or commonly known as Joys, are touring Fiji and Solomon Islands this month, playing multiple matches, about three matches, I believe. So a three-match international series that's supported by the Australian government through the Pacific All Sports program, a really great program. The tour will kick off on Friday in Lautoka, Fiji, where the Joys will meet Fiji's under-19 men's team at Churchill Park. And then after that match, they will travel to Honiara to play two fixtures against the Solomon Islands under-19 team on Monday and on Friday, two matches. So this follows the Joey's successful 2024 visit to the Pacific, where they play a couple of competitive matches in Solomon Islands and Vanuatu. Now, this arrangement with Pacific All Sports and the Australian government is focused on helping the Pacific Island nation strengthen their ties, and as well as for football development, especially for the youth aged. And also this tour provides a key preparation for the Joeys ahead of their Asian Cup tournament in May, where they will be competing in Saudi Arabia, while for Fiji and Solomon Islands, this is also a great lead-up tournament for them as they build towards the 2026 OFC Under-19 Championship that's going to be held later this year.
Yep, well, for the Aussie 19s, that will be going over to the Sugar City at Churchill Park. Good luck. It's hot. The ground is heavy, and make sure you take your sunscreen for that match. And Gabs, I didn't realise that you'll be paddling again, so I spoke too soon about getting there safely. I thought that was a segment done, but
see,
you've got a second story for us, so please get me there safely again.
Well, don't you worry, because Moana's va'a is once again on the move, and we've landed with netball this time. So the Pacific Oz Sports Netball Challenge for 2026 was announced. This is the first netball series specifically for Pacific-based players who are not from New Zealand or Australia. It's just to focus on, for the lack of a better term, locally, you know, trained players. And this is, the concept was with Netball Australia, as well as the Pacific Netball Federations, because the federations emphasize the need to provide clear pathways for Pacific-based netballers to compete at that national level, so there's not too much of a gap when it comes to World Cup, or I know that netball's trying to get into the Olympics as well, but all the major international tournaments, so our Pacific Islands aren't too left behind, but is to just pretty much like the OFC. It's just to up, you know, ensure that we can perform at competitive level with all the other countries in the world.
You know, a funny thing about I saw on socials, Galea Iongi is one of the Tongan players. When they were going through, this was just recently, their Tongan team, when they were going through customs, one of the girls left a knife in her bag. And her excuse was, or not excuse, well, her reasoning for having the knife in the bag and forgot to take it out, she said that she was cutting fruit up. And then she ate the fruit and put the knife back in the bag and then forgot to take it out. What about that for an experience for her going through
she's
that?
She's on Moana's boat. she needs to ensure that she's, you know, she's got her snacks on.
Girls
prepared.
Honest mistake. Yeah. But there's lots of netball advances in the region. But this sounds so good that it's Pacific players only to get them to the next level. So another great story. And finally, Patricia, you've got the map. Where are we landing next? What have we got for our last stop?
This, we're going to talk about the Super Rugby Pacific. I am looking forward to seeing some more action. It's been too long. Now, the Fijian Drua have named their co-captains for this season, Temo Mayanavanua and Frank Lomani, ahead of the 2026 season. Both players have a shared history together, and they bring so much leadership to the team, and especially with Fiji's performance last season. I'm hoping that, well, everyone's hoping that their appointment as co-captains will help, you know, boost the team spirit, especially, you know, with their shared leadership and the history they've had together, to have the team blended together as the campaign kicks off next month and they play their first match against Moana Pacifica.
Fantastic picks for both very good leaders, especially Frank Lomani. He was injured last season with a shoulder reconstruction, so he didn't travel on the end of year tour with Fiji, so he's been in and amongst that group, making sure that the standards and values are set high, and I'm expecting big things from the Drua this year. Patricia and Gabs, an excellent first edition of this new segment. We've travelled around the Pacific for plenty of sports news, and we've survived. We've absolutely survived on the va'a. So thanks for bringing them in.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Okay, we've heard one interview, so let's dive into our second today as we bring you not only the news and stories, but also the people that make up our amazing region across the Pacific. So, Gabriel, who did you chat to this week?
Well, I was pretty stoked to chat with Coach Director of Oceania Athletics, and he is also the head coach for Athletics Samoa, Mr. Ah Chong, Sam Chong. He's a former track star for both Samoa and New Zealand, and he was born and bred here in Samoa on the Apia Park tracks. And we catch up with Ah Chong in his role as coach and mentor, and where athletics is heading.
I love track and field. It's all about yourself. It's kind of like it's a self-discipline, and also it's more like you don't want to rely on your mates or someone else. So it's kind of like it's a one-man gang. Once you're up, you know, and there's no one to blame. I think the reason why I choose track and field was it helps me to stay on healthy and stay on what I love to do and try to, you know, spread the word with the young, our local athletes as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing, Coach. Now that we've transferred over to coaching side of things, I know recently Athletic Samoa under your guidance had a mini tournament just a few days ago. It's because I remember it was under 14, yes. Under 12, under 10, and under 8. What was the overall aim of the mini tournament that was just recently held?
I think this is the third our mini comp with the young one. And I was thinking of it's easy for us to identify the young one, and it's easy to start from a very young age. Because here in Samoa, it's hard to identify our kids. Especially we only identify our kids was like 14 or 15 or 13. I think that's too late for us. Yeah. But if we start from a very young age, like a six-year-old up to 14, it's easy for them to, when they grow, like when they start, try to get used to, like, you know, just running. And some kids, they're just running, and if you enjoy, like, everything is being perfect, especially the technique and the running skills that they have and stuff like that. And it's good for us, athletic side, to give them the opportunity to compete any different event. So it's good for athletics. Like, we have so many events, so they can choose from there. It's easy for all of us to identify each young talent. Yeah.
I think one of the highlights, Coach, I saw in the recent mini comp was the youngest athlete you had, the little three-year-old girl that I hear she'd been training for a while, and she was just running like it was the most normal thing for her to do, and it was pretty special to witness, Coach. That was pretty special.
Yes, I think it's good to bring the young one. And also, like, they have friends and stuff like that. They might going to encourage, they ask their parents to bring them over. And I look at that day, all the parents that they came that day, like, now they bring their kids over now. So I'm pleased and I'm happy for that as well.
What are your thoughts on how athletics is growing as a sport? How do you see athletics as a main sport for our people?
I think that 2015, I was just part of our athletics coaching side. 2015, the youth game. So at that time was like they got raw talents, but they're not even trained the specific event that they need to be. So it makes me like, okay, I share with some other teammates, old teammates, and some of my coaching work colleagues back in New Zealand. I think I need to go back to Samoa and start something. And also, like, this is the sport that I will never, forget. I always, you know, go wherever I go, I always look back to Samoa. And then that's why I make my decision to come back home in 2016 so I can share my knowledge to all our young ones. And since that, after 2015, we have some few local athletes, and that's the first time I've been seeing our team being part of Oceania and some other event, Commonwealth Games, Youth Olympics, and Youth Games. It's a lot of our local athletes being part of this kind of event. So that's why make me just want to continue on. I love to continue on, and I want to see some of our athletes be part of Olympic dreams, and that's all I you know keep doing, and hopefully, like, someone's gonna be, or especially our local athletes. I encourage our local athletes because, you know, they got the potential, but we need some tools and need some stuff to help with them as well.
Absolutely, man. All of a coach. Speaking of Olympics, Alex Rose, proud son of Samoa, obviously he's based in the States.
Yeah.
And he's had amazing performance over the last few years, obviously with the Olympics as well. What do you think our local athletes need in terms to support them? To support, obviously we can see that our overseas athletes can achieve to that level. What do our local athletes need, do you think?
I think that our local athletes need to get out there to international level, competitions. It's best for them to expose everywhere, like, you know, New Zealand champs, there's Australian champs, and a lot of the meet that we need to take our local athlete there. But the hardest for me, the biggest thing for me, that's a big challenge, it's the financials. It's we can't afford to send, especially like our top hurdlers, top sprinters. This is the hard thing for me, is to send even our relay team. I believe we have a best relay team, but it's, we can't send them over because it all comes down to the financial side, you know?
Yeah, that is true. Especially because athletics in Samoa is not a professional sport, so
yes,
it makes it even harder. I'm thankful that we have administrators such as yourself putting in their time for free so that our kids are able to achieve milestones. I have noticed, Coach, that you have a wonderful young squad. Pretty amazing, and I want to address specifically the young girls, your future Shakari, the young girls in the squad. I'm very impressed. Do you think, has it been difficult to include girls in the sport of track and field and keep them here? What's it been like for you trying to maintain young females within track and field?
It's for me, for the girls, like, this is what we always have some disagreement with one of the mates that we always talk about now. So they always ask me why I support the women in sports. The way I support these guys, because we're all in the same. If any female and a male win, for example, like 100 meters per sprint, everyone's going to, you know, get the gold. And they will sing the national anthem at the same time. So I would say in the athletic side, it's all equal. It's all same.
Well, Coach, I think these kids are very privileged to have you.
Hey, Gabs, talk to me about this three-year-old you were talking about in the interview at the Athletics Carnival. Like, what a cool sight that was.
She was so cute. Unbelievable. Like, you would see the training before they had the mini comp. And she was always put in the under six category, but she refused to run there. She wanted to run with her sister, which was in the under eights. So she would always be in lane one. And every time they had practice, 200s and 100s, obviously she's been going for a while. So she just does the whole 200s, the whole 100. And it's like a daytime walk for her. And she's just absolutely cute, right? It's so special, especially like when you start kids this young and normalize a healthy lifestyle through sport. What an amazing upbringing. It's truly something special to see.
You know, Gabs, rugby league and rugby union is so big in Samoa, and, you know, with the talents coming through in athletics, do you think that, you know, league and union are taking some of the best athletes for their sport, or has that changed?
I think the reality is that all sports will always be on the hunt for the next athlete, and whether you find that in other sports and are able to entice them over. But for a long time, athletics has been breeding ground of many a rugby star because of the speed. One of our former track stars as well was Besamino Mikaele. He was a star for sevens, but he was also a track runner as well. So I don't think at any point in time it'll stop. But as long as, I personally think, as long as there's a good aftercare for both, for the athlete in both codes, because at the end of the day, athletics is also a Olympic sport.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, multiple sports, multiple opportunities to be able to represent your country. So it's nothing but positive news there when that's happening. Beautiful work. Okay, up next, it's our opportunity to get competitive with our game of
Fresh Off the Dome.
Yes, Fresh Off the Dome is back for 2026. I'll ask three questions. Gabs and Patricia, you know the drill. We played this last year, but use your name as the buzzer if you think you know the answer. and you can play along at home as well. So are you ready for our healthy competition? Here we go. Question number one. I mentioned boxing earlier. Well, one particular boxing term is southpaw. What exactly does that mean?
Gabs.
Or gabs straight in there.
It means you're a lefty.
Hi, it is. You're a left-handed fighter. You lead with your right as the jab. And are you a southpaw yourself? Is that why you know this?
No, but they, because I do some, we do some MMA trainings and they make us do that every once in a while so that we know what it's like.
Stop it. How good.
Me either.
I'm not messing with my father-in-law. I'm not messing with you. Perfect. Okay, let's get to question number two. The 2026 Cook Islands Beach Games kicked off this week featuring four sports: netball, volleyball, handball, and air badminton. Air badminton is the sport I want to ask you about, which is badminton, but a wee bit different. The question is the shuttle lighter or heavier in air badminton?
Patricia.
Oh, here we go. Patricia, what are you thinking?
I think it's lighter.
Gabs?
I'm going to say it's the same weight.
Oh, okay. I'm glad I didn't give the answer away. It's actually heavier. It means it's not affected by the wind, so the game is more accessible. When you think about being on the beach, you take it into the weather conditions. Yeah, no one got that one there, so we can actually move to question number three. Here we go. And potential tiebreaker as well, but let's go. Question number three. We've talked a lot about the OFC Pro League today. Which team has unfortunately seen their head coach quit just days out from the tournament starting? Is it A?
Patricia.
Oh, okay, go for it, Patricia. Nah. I don't think I said multiple choice at the start. Sorry. But anyway, go for it because I think you know the answer.
Is it Vanuatu United?
It is Vanuatu. Not ideal for the Nevans, who have lost their coach last hop, so close to kickoff. You don't have a scoop for us. Why? No, nothing. We'll find out next week. But that means we have to go to a tiebreaker. I don't think we've been to a tiebreaker since I've been on the show. So I'm very excited here. It is one or tiebreaker question coming your way. Which team finished higher in the medal standings at the 2025 Palau Mini Games, Cook Islands, or Tonga?
Gabs.
Go for it, Gabs.
The Cooks.
The answer is the Cook Islands. Gabs, you are the winner for 2026. Woo! They had four golds compared to Tonga's three.
Yay!
Well done, Gabs, for the win. Maybe we'll keep score this year, and by the end of 2026, we can actually crown an overall winner for Fresh Off the Dome, our biggest sports trivia buff on the show. So. What do you think about that? Should we keep scores?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh.
Definitely.
Sound a bit salty there. Sound a little bit salty. Well, make sure you prepare for the coming weeks, but well done. Well, that brings us to the end of our show for this week. A big thank you to my co-host, PNG journalist and media manager for PNG Football, Patricia Kiamo. Thank you, True Patricia.
Thank you to my Sam and Gabs. This was fun. What a great way to start off my year.
It certainly was. And thank you to my other co-host, former footy player and now leader in all things women's sport in Samoa and beyond, Fafatai Lava, Gabrielle Apelu.
Thank you, team. I'm glad to see that we arrived safely in Motunui and looking for a blast in 2026.
You're not wrong. We can't wait to have you back on. And malo apito to Fox Sports and Stan for the audio used in this episode. And thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.